Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network. It's good to be with everyone today. Trust you're doing well. I know there's a lot of tension all over the world today. We're going to talk a little bit about it, but it is Good Friday, as we call it here in our modern society, and I guess around the world too. And it is a day that is representative. It is a reminder. It is a memorial day of what had taken place nearly 3,500 years ago, was fulfilled 2,000 years ago. And it is a strength to you and I to remember this day that our entire faith, the reason why Omega Radio exists, the reason why we preach the gospel, the reason why we have church, the reason why, you know, we have hope and belief is because of what happened on the cross 2,000 years ago, which was a fulfillment of what God had told the Israelis some 1,500 years earlier. And today we are looking back to a finished work to remember, to get strengthened by these memorial stones that we have opportunity to look at and ask the question, what does this mean? And in the book of Joshua, let me just explain what I just said. In the book of Joshua, when they crossed over the Jordan miraculously, supernaturally, they were told to bring stones, each tribe, one stone per tribe. They were to put it together. And so when generations following would come and see the stones, they'd say, what does this mean? And those stones would be telling the story of the acts of God, how he delivered his people out of Egypt. He brought them through the wilderness. They crossed over the Jordan, and they entered into the promise that God had made to Abraham. Oh, Joshua is probably one of the wonderful, most wonderful books to read in a day like this. But rather than going to the Old Testament and looking back, we're going to begin our Bible study today, when we get to it, in John chapter 18. We're going to begin in John chapter 18. But before we get into this Passover story, there are a number of things that we need to mention briefly today. Number one, we need to go and take a close look at the Satan 2 nuclear missile again by Russia, as Putin brags of invulnerable arsenal. So here's the article. A new intercontinental ballistic missile hailed by Russian President Vladimir Putin has been able to fly over the North or South Poles and strike any target in the world, reportedly, was test launched for the second time Friday. That means today in Russia, this missile was launched and tested. Russia's defense ministry released a video purportedly showing the Sarmat ICBM blasting off in spectacular fashion from the Plesetsk Cosmodrome in its northern Arkhangelsk province. The move coming just hours after the Kremlin announced it would expel 60 American diplomats and close the U.S. consulate in St. Petersburg in retaliation for U.S. measures taken in response to the poisoning of an ex-Russian spy and his daughter in Britain. So the video shows the missile, dubbed Satan 2 by NATO, rising out of the ground and seemingly floating in the air for a brief moment before more flames erupt, kicking up massive clouds of smoke and snow. No defense systems will be able to withstand it, Putin said about the missile during his State of the Nation speech in early March. The test launch also comes after Putin's recent re-election and a congratulatory phone call from President Trump, in which Trump reportedly also warned his Russian counterpart, if you want to have an arms race, we can do that, but I'll win, according to two officials that spoke to NBC News. Days before the launch, the U.S. Navy test-fired its own ICBM from a ballistic missile submarine off the coast of Southern California. Russia has been working for years to develop a new ICBM to replace the Soviet-designed Voyevoda, the world's heaviest ICBM and known as Satan in the West. That ICBM carries 10 nuclear warheads, the Associated Press reported. Putin announced during his March Sarmat missile, which is also Satan 2, was undergoing test and debuted a video purportedly showing its first test launch, which he said happened in December. So Putin said Sarmat weighs 220 tons and has a higher range than Satan, the first missile, allowing it to fly over both poles of the Earth. He also said it accelerates faster than its predecessor, making it harder for an enemy to intercept it in its most vulnerable phase after the launch. Putin added Sarmat also carries more and more powerful nuclear warheads than the Satan ICBM. So Russian state-run news agency TASS has reported the Sarmat missile will go into mass production in 2020 and is expected to become an operational the year after, according to Euronews. No one has listened to us. You listen to us now, Putin boasted during the March speech when he revealed other weapons his country apparently has in the works, such as an underwater drone armed with a nuclear warhead powerful enough to sweep away coastal facilities and aircraft carriers, and a nuclear-powered cruise missile that's invulnerable to any existing or prospective air and missile defense systems. And you'll remember last week, we came back, we were on the airwaves, I guess it was early this week, and read the article that the Defense Secretary of the United States and all of our military brass, that they agreed that what Russia does have would bypass any of our defense mechanisms. And so for the first time, we probably feel a little naked with our skirts lifted up here, that while we've been in the good old times and involved in personal problems, the enemy has been at work. And that goes back, by the way, for all of you that remember the prophet, the Romanian prophet, Dimitri Dudeman, who came to the shores of America. One of his greatest prophecies that he was shown by the Lord is that while the United States would be caught up in all the internal problems, the adversaries abroad would attack. And he mentioned Russia as one of those great nations to attack the United States of America. And we have been what? For several years now, we have been engaged in our own personal affairs. And it does go back to 2014 with the first blood red moon, if you want to mark it. It was during Passover 4 years ago that the first of a tetrad of blood red moons showed up in our skies. And it was at that time that Ferguson, Missouri began to break out, if you'll recall, the riots between the people and the police, which spawned a season of confrontation between the citizens and the police department. Did in Dallas, Texas, where 12 officers were shot, 5 were killed. the Baltimore riots, the police shootings in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, New York, and on and on and on we had this, right? And so these were the internal problems of demonstrations, marches. Think about the election process with all the millions of illegal aliens marching through the streets of America. We started to experience what the prophet Dmitri Dudeman said would actually happen within our nation, that before the adversaries will attack us, we will be so involved in our own unrest. And that was the time that the enemies would see their opportunity. So while America may have had, one eye looking to the beyond domestic affairs, certainly the focus has been what's going on right here in this country. And so was the prophet Dmitri Dudeman telling us the truth? And has the time now arrived for the prophecy to be fulfilled? Well, according to these articles, It's pretty intense that people are talking about it. You know, it is interesting that rather than just launching one of these babies, Vladimir Putin is talking about, boasting about, his abilities. And, maybe that's the way people do things today. I float like a butterfly, sing like a bee, or run across second, stand on three. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali. He used to boast before he knocked somebody out, right? But anyways, getting back to the article, I want to repeat this. No one has listened to us, Putin said, but you listen to us now. So, underwater drones, nuclear missiles, invulnerable to any existing or prospective air and missile defense systems. So the White House responded to Putin's March 1 speech by saying he merely confirmed what the U.S. already knows, that Russia has been developing destabilizing weapons systems for over a decade in direct violations of its treaty obligations. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said President Trump understands the threats that America is moving forward to modernize our nuclear arsenal and ensure our capabilities are unmatched. And so here you have an arms race again. Here you have, again, mankind building up his nuclear weapons, and yet we're going to have gun control in our schools. So we're building up nuclear arsenal to fight, and we're going to take guns out of schools. Wow, that sounds interesting. Pentagon spokeswoman Dana White also said the Defense Department wasn't surprised by Putin's bluster, adding the U.S. military is prepared to defend the nation. Quote, you will have to assess that new reality and become convinced that what I said today isn't a bluff, Putin had said. It's not a bluff. Trust me. So we got superpowers that are fighting one another, but that's not the only thing going on in our world today. There's also a clash taking place, violent clashes, as thousands of Gazans march near Israeli border. So clashes erupted as thousands of Gazans marched near the Israeli border in a major protest on Friday. That's today, with five Palestinians killed and more than 50 wounded. Some Gazans estimated the total number of protesters in the tens of thousands, including women and children. They gathered at multiple sites throughout the blockaded territory, which is flanked by Israel along its eastern and northern borders. The Palestinian Red Crescent reported 201 people wounded from live fire, while the health ministry in the Gaza Strip said four people were killed during the clashes. Israel's military said 17,000 Palestinians are rioting in five locations along the Gaza Strip security fence. The rioters are rolling burning tires and hurling firebombs and rocks and at the security fence. And at Israeli troops who are responding with riot dispersal means and firing towards main instigators. So the Palestinian fighters from the Fatah movement march with Kalashnikov assault rifles during a funerary procession for 27-year-old farmer Omar Samur, who was killed earlier in the day by Israeli tank fire in Khan Yunis in the southern Gaza Strip on March 30th. And there's all kinds of pictures, and you can see the unrest. And it just, today, Good Friday, right? I mean, the unveiling of Satan II, the unveiling of nuclear arsenal, the unveiling of unrest. There's turmoil in the world today. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to see more turmoil. But here's a very interesting article that, you know, for people that are interested, Pope Francis came out and said there is no hell. Well, this story has been updated to include a statement from the Vatican of below. In another interview with his longtime atheist friend, Eugenio Scalfari, Pope Francis claims that hell does not exist and that condemned souls just disappear. Now, this is a denial of the 2,000-year-old teaching of the Catholic Church about the reality of hell and the eternal existence of the soul. The interview between Scalfari and the Pope was published March 28, 2018 in La Repubblica. The relevant section on hell was translated by the highly respected weblog Rorate Kaili. So the interview is headlined, "The Pope, it is an honor to be called revolutionary." So Scalfari says to the Pope, "Your Holiness, in our previous meeting, you told me that our species will disappear in a certain moment and that God, still out of his creative force, will create new species. You have never spoken to me about the souls who died in sin and will go to hell to suffer it for eternity. You have, however, spoken to me of good souls admitted to the contemplation of God. But what about bad souls? Where are they punished?" Pope Francis says, "They are not punished. Those who repent obtain the forgiveness of God and enter the rank of souls who contemplate him. But those who do not repent and cannot therefore be forgiven, there is no hell. There is the disappearance of sinful souls." Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The head of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, has moved into universalism, and it is an idea that has been circulating for a long time. It's called universal rec. It's called, there's all kinds of names for it. But ultimately, this is a denial of the scriptures. It is not the truth. There is a hell. There is death. There is a lake of fire. There is outer darkness. There is weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. There is a place where their worm never dies. There is everlasting judgment and condemnation and punishment. And so we live in an age where the leader of the largest Christian religious organization in the world and has one of the most powerful impacts through the Vatican is now declaring there is no hell, that you can be a sinner, never repent, go and live it up, and just disappear. No consequences for the way you lived your life. Man, is that a contradiction. It's so out in the open and in your face, but it is a beautiful doctrine for people that want to continue to live in sin. You have to admit, my God, oh my goodness, ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? And then, you know, there's a gentleman by the name of Jim Baker. Jim Baker has, in Blue Eye, Missouri, a place where he's now been on television, and he's had such a restoration in his ministry. Some people like him, some people don't. Chewy, that was a sneeze. But here's what he has. You know, Rick Wiles has been on his program. I mean, he's been super launched because of the blessing, because of the financial prosperity that goes into that ministry, and I have no problem with it. People are preparing today, so why not sow into a place where, you know, at least people like Jonathan Kahn and Rick Wiles, and you go on down the list, and they're all on there. Senators, congressmen, you know, end time prophets, they're all there. They've been there with their books. They've been there with their teachings. And Jim Baker has hosted it, but here is a little clip of what Jim Baker just said about the month of April. And ladies and gentlemen, if I'm not mistaken, tomorrow is April. Is that right? I have to check it out here. Or is April? Where is April? Well, I guess there's 31 days of March. I didn't know that. Is there 31 days? I'll figure it out. Very soon, we're going to be in the month of April. Here's what Jim Baker had to say on his broadcast. Listen clearly.
Could shake the world.
Yeah.
April could shake the world. April could shake the world.
Yeah.
April could shake the world.
Yeah.
This things are going to happen this year. God woke me up. I was up all night, a few nights ago, mm-hmm. and spoke to me that it's later than people think. You don't know. You can't just say, well, I believe this. You've got to know what the word says. You hear me?
Yes.
Because it's going to be suddenly. And things are going to happen this year. And God spoke to me. And I said, God, how am I going to make it this year? Income is hard right now. What am I going to do? He says, you be faithful to preach what I tell you to preach. And the people are going to help you. And I'm back preaching harder than ever. I'm believing God for new strength. I'm almost 80, but I'm going to live to be 180 if I have to. I'm determined to live and not die. And you know what the good thing is about my age? Is I don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
I mean, so what? I got a couple years left or so, whatever God wants, you know. And so I'm not living because I want to build a mansion here. I'm not living because I need to do something just for man. I'm living to bring the message I went to prison to receive, that God gave me the revelation story in the revelation book and gave me the message to tell people to prepare, because perilous times are coming. It's the harvest time, and people are going to preach. All of you. You people that have been listening to so much preaching, you got more preaching. It's running out your ears almost. It's so you're so full of it. You're just for your ears are just full of the gospel. And now God wants you to preach that. In these last days, we're going to be an army of preachers.
Amen.
That's what it
Amen.
Is.
All right. So what is the article actually telling us? Let's hear it one more time.
April could shake the world.
There it is. So April can shake the world. Why? Because what everybody's been saying for such a long time. And you know what happens when a message is proclaimed in the beginning, it starts to awaken, then it gets rich and there's movement and there's activity and people begin to prepare and they, you know, years and years and years of this kind of activity. Then time goes by. Everything appears to be the same. We kind of overlook the massive hurricanes, the wildfires, the landslides, the police shootings. We seem to overlook 58 people killed in Las Vegas, 26 Christians in a church on Sunday in Texas. We overlook the Parkland school shootings and all the other ones that went around. We forget about the uptick in the North Korean potential war. We kind of forget those things as though they never happened because they didn't directly affect us. And we move on and we begin to put our guard down. And so I want to thank God for those men and women who God is continuing to raise up with a clarion call. Some people have actually changed their message because they spoke and things didn't happen the way that they thought they were or when they were going to happen. And so they began to change their teaching. And now they bring it all the way out into the 2030s and the 2040s. And, you know, everything is going to go on out there. But the moment something gets really rife, they go right back and we better be ready for now. But listen, the only right thing to do is remain on the alert, remain watchful, live an abundant life. As we have always said, go and live the abundant life that God has given to you. Enjoy the richness of the abundance of quality that you have. In other words, enjoy your relationships, enjoy your health, enjoy whatever God has given you to pay your bills and have a little extra to share with others and do things you'd love to do. I'm not advocating, never, ever, ever advocating fear to anybody, but absolute the fear of the Lord to honor God when he says prepare, that you should absolutely be preparing. And whether or not things happen in your time frame or my time frame, we never change the message, because what we're saying is that God never really told us that. And, you know, the fact of the matter is God has spoken, ladies and gentlemen. The word of God is absolutely clear on the issues that when a nation slaughters its innocent blood like we have, when a nation legislates abortion, when a nation legislates into law the legalization of homosexuality and lesbian marriages and advocates pedophilia, transgenderism, when a nation saturates a society with pornography, when a nation saturates a society with the filth that comes out of the abyss of Hollywood, when a nation is rank with pride, when a nation blasphemes the holy name of Jesus Christ on their daily programs, when a nation looks to Hinduism and New Age and metaphysics and begins to erect altars to other gods, when a nation turns away from the commandments of God, when a nation turns away. You know, it's just impossible that judgment will not come to that nation. And so we don't need some man or some woman to stand up and tell us, you know, all we do as ministers, as watchmen, is we tell what God has already said. It's not a big deal. It's not about a man or a woman proclaiming the message. Some people are out there in the mission fields. Some are on the street corners. They're proclaiming the gospel, winning souls. Everybody has a job to do. Our job for many, many, many years has been to warn this nation. And I will remind our listeners why I do what I do. Because on September 3rd, 2001, I was sat in a multi-million dollar flight simulator in United Airlines in Denver, Colorado. And I took that multi-million dollar flight simulator and I flew it into the Twin Towers, joking around. 8 days later, the Twin Towers were struck by airplanes out of United and American Airlines, right? And so I asked the Lord, what about this? And he said, you need to pay attention to every little thing you say, every little thing you do. I'm speaking, nobody's listening, but you now must get on high alert. And he set me to watch, and I've been watching ever since that attack in 9/11/2001, and I have been declaring what I see. I've been telling what I see at moments. It's so close, it appears it's already happening. And so God has refined the ministry. He's refined the mantle. But ladies and gentlemen, if the watchman does not tell the people what he sees, well, the blood will be on his hands. So it is important that the watchman continually tells. For example, if we don't tell that Russia has a Satan II rocket, if we don't tell that the Pope is going to lead millions of people away, millions of people away because they follow the Pope and he's telling them there is no hell, that you're not going to be accountable for your sins. I mean, if that is the thing that is going on and it's not revealed and spoken about, well, the blood will be on the watchman's hand. And I do believe the accountability for pastors who are teaching the word of God in these doctrines like once saved, always saved. A Christian can't not have a demon. There's a pre-tribulational rapture. You're never going to have to go through tribulation. They are going to be held accountable for what they're teaching and preaching. And so the watchman or the watchwoman that hears and sees these things has a responsibility before God to declare them to whosoever will listen and to do it in a presentation that is biblical. And when it comes to once saved, always saved, we have taught it over and over and over again and showed in the Word of God that that is impossible to be a genuine doctrine, that just because you believe in Jesus, you can go and live any way you want, but you're going to heaven. That is so false. That basically goes in alignment with universal reconciliationism, the doctrine that the Pope is now espousing, because that is the same thing, no accountability, no trouble, no tribulation, no need to prepare, no need to get ready. Once saved, always saved. Christians can't have demons. Pre-tribulational rapture. All connect to universal reconciliationism. I'm telling you, it is absolutely amazing. But when you read the Bible, you cannot conclude completely that those doctrines are real, because there is scripture that declares the absolute opposite of what they're saying. And yet people are going to soak this up, because in the last days, many false prophets will come, that many people will be deceived. They will heap teachers unto themselves, having itching ears, tell us what we want to hear. Man will create a God in their own image and likeness so that God will take care of them and their personal desires. It is a simple satanic method that everybody should understand by now, but not so, because the darkness is so deep over the minds of the masses that they can hardly awaken to the reality of what time it really is. Man, it is absolutely disturbing. And yet on the other side of this moment, what a time to be alive. What a time to know that at any moment, and I keep hearing it over and over, and you should hear it too, suddenly, tonight, when the sun sets, the feast of Passover will begin. There are three celebrations within the context of the feast of Passover. In this spring feast, in this first feast that God has prescribed in his word that his people would keep forever. The Jewish people, he told them, you're going to keep this forever as a memorial of what I have done in your lives. The Christian church must recognize that we have been grafted in among them into the Israel of God, and that the ecclesia is made up of men and women, Jew and Gentile, and as one new man in the earth. I will honor my heritage. I will honor the Passover as it was commanded by God to be celebrated to the Jewish people throughout their generations forever. And because Messiah, Yeshua, came forth out of the natural seed of Abraham, and he brought the Jew and the Gentile together as one new man, forming the ecclesia. But I will honor the feast of the Lord. Tonight, when the sun sets, we're going to be gathering in Northwest Arkansas. We're going to start congregating around 6 o'clock in the evening. We'll have some preparations, introductions, sharing just a little bit about the Passover. And at 7 o'clock sharp tonight, our sister, Marissa Atterbury, will be leading a Seder meal. And I saw what she has prepared, and it is most excellent. So we will be celebrating a Seder meal in our house. It's going to be at the church, but our little congregation. We're going to gather together, and we're going to celebrate. And in the days of the first Passover, 3,500 years ago, remember, every family was to take a lamb into its house. And the members of that household would eat the lamb, every single bit of it, until the morning. They would eat it with their shoes on their feet. They would eat it with their loins girded about, their staff in their hand. In other words, they were ready to go somewhere. It was the night that God was going to lead his people out of the house of bondage in fulfillment of a promise that he made to Abraham some 430 years earlier. This is all in the Bible. This is all in the Torah, what we call the Old Testament. It's all there in the Pentateuch. It's there. The message is there. And it was all the foretelling of a future story of the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son, that would come to be the sacrifice for the sins of all the nations of the earth to whosoever would believe in him. So tonight we're going to have a Seder meal. And after the Seder meal is explained to us, and we walk through it very gently, profoundly, with revelation, wisdom, understanding, and how it ties into Messiah today, then we're going to have a foot washing service. Because when Jesus was on the earth, one of the last things he did after dinner, Passover meal, their Seder, is he washed their feet. And we're going to have this type of activity. We're going to celebrate. And the most unique part about this feast is it's Passover. And then the next day when the sun set, it begins the 7 days known as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? Unleavened Bread is a 7-day feast connected to Passover. For 7 days, the Israeli people were told to get all the leaven out of their heart, their lives. Wherever leaven was found, condemnation would come. They labored to get all the leaven out, and that's why it was called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But it was foretelling something, as you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5:7, purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So again, you have the spiritual dynamic in the new covenant as compared to the natural, actual dynamic of getting actual leaven out of your house. There was to be no leaven in their bread, in their food. It was a season of unleavened bread that was looking forward to a time when the leaven of malice and wickedness in the heart of people would be driven out so that there would be a pure lump purged by the baptism of fire to offer an offering to God for 7 days within the community and fellowship of the saints of God without malice, wickedness, or any such thing. And this is what Paul the Apostle said. Let us keep the feast, but let's understand the spiritual intrinsic value of this feast of unleavened bread. Let us bring ourselves as an offering, each one of us representing a loaf of bread, if you will. And there's no leaven in our life that we could come and serve the Lord and his people for 7 days. And so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to begin tonight with the Seder meal. And then tomorrow, we're going to gather together at 5:30 on Saturday. We're going to have our services all around this Feast of Unleavened Bread. Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're going to gather together again. I have invited different pastors and ministers of the gospel to come into our fellowship to minister. And then we could actually go to their churches. And just all week long, we want to be engaged in gathering together in honor of our Father's feast. And then on the third day of this feast, so tonight begins Passover. 24 hours later, when the sun sets, the Feast of Unleavened Bread begins, which is a seven-day feast. But on the third day, Resurrection Sunday this year, it's known as the Feast of First Fruits. And we know that Jesus Christ is the first fruits from the dead, that he is the resurrection. And a first fruits offering always represents a harvest to come. And we know at the end of time, at the end of days, when the Lord returns, the harvest is going to come forth in resurrection. We know that there's a resurrection to come, an actual resurrection from the dead of all the saints in the last 2,000 years particularly, and even those beyond who were connected to the covenant of Yahweh. However God's going to do that, let God do that. But I know that those who have faith in Christ for 2,000 years, there comes a resurrection at the second coming. That will be the end time harvest of the first fruits, which was Jesus Christ. He is the first fruits of the resurrection, the first to rise from the dead as a new creation. Okay? So this is going to happen. And so we celebrate on Sunday. Some people call it Easter. The actual word Easter in the book of Acts, when James was locked up in prison in Acts chapter 12, and he kept them until after Easter. Well, that word Easter is Pesach. It's the same thing for Passover. And yet there is a whole understanding of Ishtar and the goddess of fertility and Easter bunnies, and that's the perversion. And, you know, we don't celebrate Easter bunnies or chocolate bunnies. We don't do that. That's not our heartbeat. We're not into pagan ritualistic stuff. But we will concentrate and focus on the resurrection, the first fruits. And that's going to take place on Sunday. And then the rest of the week, we're going to continue to serve the Lord. So three celebrations within one feast: Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. That's how the new year begins. We are in the year 5778. No one can deny that. That's where we are as far as the Hebrew calendar is concerned. Could there be problems with that? Most likely, but as far as we know, we have entered into 5778, and it is interesting that that number tells us to get under the wing, Psalm 91, get down into the covering, enter into the ark, shut the door till the indignation be overpassed, you know, come out of her, my people, go into the wilderness. There's something very powerful about numbers. God actually wrote a book called Numbers. We should not be afraid of numbers. And 5778 is speaking about getting under the wing. Psalm 91, it should be your verse. Every person should memorize and should recite every day, if they can, Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, and just personalize it. Lord, I dwell in the secret place. You are my secret place. I want to be hidden under your wing. I do not want these things to hit my life. They shall not come nigh me. And so, get Psalm 91 deep into your spirit and live in it. Live in the context of that word. That's the year you're in right now. Now we hear April could shake the world. There's a number of people I've talked to lately that said April is going to be the time. Now, there have been many other years gone by and many other months gone by when, you know, the great understanding of the massive shaking and the great strike against the heart of America will come, and it's only been met with delay. So do you give up on the message, or do you understand that things are not going to happen in our timing, but in God's timing? We live in the what is called the Chronos time. You know Chronos? That's the linear time. That's here on planet Earth, seconds, minutes, hours, etc. You know, linear. But God is a Kairos time God. God lives within the Kairos. And Kairos is when everything is rich and ready in the economy of God. In other words, not one thing is unprepared. Everything, every opportunity that God would afford for the nations of the earth to come out of the destruction that is coming, when God says from his perspective, it's rich, it's now, then it will happen. That's how he brought his son into the world. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, that was the Kairos, and that was an opportunity in the midst of a crisis, and it was at the ripe season that God said, now I'm going to send my son. They prophesied of Christ coming for 4,000 years. But when God said it was time, it came. And so it will be with end time prophecy. And yet we must sense it. I mean, there is activity going on, just like there was activity of angels talking to Mary about what he was going to do. And Anna, the prophetess, and Zechariah, the prophet, in the temple, and all the movements that were going on in dreams and visions, and Mary and Joseph going down to Egypt, there was activity. And so in these last days, there's a tremendous amount of activity, prophecies being fulfilled, the word of God looking through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, saying, yeah, that's it. So there is a stirring that has been going on for years about the moments that we're living in. And the ultimate preparation is for the great tribulation. And as we endure to the end of that great tribulation, we will be alive and remaining at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, it is through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. And one of the blessings that is coming on this earth is the great tribulation to eradicate from the heart of God's people the spots and blemishes and wrinkles, the insincerities, the things that never got dealt with are going to be dealt with by the pressure that God is sending into the earth. There will be a bride who has worked out her salvation with fear and trembling, that has gotten to the core of her existence and has been cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb so perfectly, she will go into the wilderness and she will be spared during the great tribulation. That's all in your Bible. And if we need to go through that teaching again, we will do it step by step because it's there. The message is clear. And so are you going to go into the great tribulation because your heart never got cleansed? And God's going to use that moment to get your heart clean, to get you to confess, to get you to understand what the problems have been in your life? Or are you working that out right now so that you could go into a wilderness that God has prepared and be nourished for 3.5 years during that time? These are good questions. This is what time it is. It's time to get under the wing. It does appear that whether it's April or whether it's May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February, or March, it does appear that this year will be met with some need to be hid in the secret place. I mean, think about 5777 last year, right? That just ended a few days ago. 5777, gray, lead, pulverize. Well, did we see gray skies? Did we see gray atmospheres? Man, Parkland shooting, the Texas Baptist Church, 26 people shot and killed, lots of lead. 58 people shot in Las Vegas, Nevada, sniped, slaughtered. I mean, lots of lead. It's been lots of lead. Gray days, hurricanes, six of them, wiping out, devastating, doing damage, floods all over Houston and, you know, all these areas. Wildfires, landslides, California. I mean, just go on down the list. Gray, lead, pulverizing storms. You can see headlines, pulverizing, and not just in America, by the way, globally, around the world. It was a season like that. And now we come to 5778, get under the wing. Why? Because indignation is coming. Indignation is coming. Will we see something of it this year? You betcha. Is it going to be Putin's Satan II rocket? Is it going to be Kim's electromagnetic pulse? What is it going to be that's going to bring about this idea? Now, 5777 affected many people but didn't touch you. You went right through it, didn't you? I went right through it. I continued to live my life, enjoyed the gift of life. I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. I'm in the ark, the place that God led me and my family to. I'm resting in the ark. I'm enjoying my stay, but I'm broadcasting out of this headquarter area to the ends of the earth to warn people of wherever you are, maybe the tens of thousands of Gazans that are fighting right now, and you know they're only pawns on the chessboard. You know, that rioting going on there, you have militant groups of ISIS, Iran, Al-Qaeda, and other groups that I think we're going to hear a brand new name very soon coming out of Islam. I really do. It may be Iran. It may be Turkey. But I believe we're going to see something at the level, and I do believe we're going to continue to see terrorism. I believe that terrorism is going to spark once again alongside of the local domestic feuds of protesting and riots. Ladies and we've seen the previews. They didn't just go away. They've only submarined until the ripe moment. And it appears that 2018 in the Gregorian calendar, 5778, will be a season of an uptick of all of these things. There's such hostility. There's such hostility. There's one abortionist that's going to blow your mind. I want you to see why the righteous judgment of God, why the righteous judgment of God is coming to the shores of America. You're not going to believe this, but it's true. Dr. Leah Torres, an OBGYN in Salt Lake City, Utah, said that when she performs certain abortions, she cuts the vocal cord of the baby. So, quote, there's really no opportunity for the child to scream. She also described herself as a uterus ripper outer because she performs hysterectomies. Torres made her disturbing comments on a Twitter on March 11th in response to a question. As the tweets show, Zarba asked Torres about the aborted babies. Do you hear their heartbeats when you lay down at night? Do you hear their screams? Torres replied, no. You know, fetuses can't scream, right? I transect the cord first, so there's really no opportunity if they've even far enough along to have a larynx. I won't apologize for performing medicine, said Torres. I'm also a uterus ripper-outer, if that's how you'd like to describe hysterectomy. So Torres tweeted, garnered a lot of backlash from pro-life activists. And you can imagine, so here you have a woman performing abortions, cutting the larynx, cutting the vocal cords so she can't hear the baby screaming. We just found scientifically that a baby in the womb after 28 weeks can feel pain. But let's go back to the beginning. Life is in the blood. That's what God said. Life is in the blood. A fetus is made up of tissues, cells, and blood. To kill a fetus is to destroy the life that is in the blood. We have systematically mass murdered over 80 million babies in America through Planned Parenthood sponsored over 500 million abortions, murder around the world, and we have offended God. And so to say that all this gloom and doom, listen, the gloom and doom has been going on right beneath our noses. The gloom, I mean, does it get any gloomier than murdering the most innocent life? Does it get any gloomier to legalize homosexual marriage, lesbian marriage? Does it get any gloomier than that? Is it any gloomier to see what Hollywood has been pouring out of its belly, the filth and the stench of its ugliness? I mean, that's the gloom and the doom. The righteous judgment of God that's coming, we hail that. The righteous rejoice at the righteous judgment of God, and they desire the righteous judgment of God to come. They don't want to put it off. They want it to come. We wanted it to come 20 years ago, 40 years ago, when abortion began, right? When our government made war with God in 1961 and made a decision to go to war against God, we wanted justice then, but God's given an entire generation to give itself over to the powers of darkness while the preachers were calling for repentance. But what did the church do? It built bigger churches and called the masses to sit down and we'll tell you what you want to hear. The righteous crying out for God's righteous judgment to stop the things that were going on. And righteous judgment actually does do that. And so for the church not to desire the righteous judgment of God to stop the evil and the insanity is a real reproach on the church. In Peter, it says that the people of God are to hasten the day of the Lord, to hurry it up. And we're holding it off. The majority of people in churches, they holding it off. You see, I think it's all a bit twisted. When a mass murderer, a serial killer, starts to take his victims one by one by one, and he gets into the 20s and the 30s, right? Suddenly people go, man, we got to stop this guy. We got to bring this guy to justice. We got to stop this. But the church hasn't cried out into the ears of the Most High God, we got to stop this. No, the church was, let's build bigger buildings. Let's teach prosperity. Let's continue on in tolerating homosexuality, lesbianism, abortion. Let's be okay with electing and voting for presidents who don't mind continuing the legislation of abortion. And it's all twisted. It's all very sick, if you ask me. And it appears that the thing we call the church today, and I'm not a church basher, I really am not, but I just can't figure out how people that call themselves the church have become so tolerant of what God calls, and in the New Testament, God said, hate what is evil. Hate what is evil. And beg God to step in with righteous judgment. Now, if he doesn't, the atmosphere becomes like Sodom and Gomorrah, and the righteous soul of the elect of God will be vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked. That is the atmosphere that Jesus said in the last days it would be like the days of Lot. And that's it. That's what's going to happen. I believe what has happened is that Christian men and women all over the world have lost their savor. Their salt is good for nothing but to be trodden underfoot of men, and they are the salt. So they will be trodden. It says in Revelation chapter 11 that the Gentiles will tread the outer courts of the temple of God. Was trodden under their feet. The Christian church that's going into the Great Tribulation along with those who keep the commandments of God are going to be trampled under the foot of an end-time army that is satanically inspired. It's all in the Bible because there's no salt left. There's no savor left in the salt. My prayer to God for myself, for you, is that God will restore the savor and that you will wake up and realize that savor is not patting everybody on the back saying, oh, God loves you so much. No, God hates your sin and you're going to perish. Even though the Pope says there's no hell, there is. And then speak to the nation. Speak to what the nation has done. Tell the truth to what the nation has done through the biblical lens against God. And then declare why God's judgment on America when this thing comes, when it really comes, why it was just. But prepare for the day is coming that God will exact his hand. You know it. He's forewarned you. He's told you. So make sure you're ready to enter into your ark the day this goes down. And I don't know, Russia boasting a Satan II rocket, Kim over in North Korea boasting the ability to put the lights out, EMP, the United States boasting its military power and might, battleships. But I have a sneaky suspicion that none of those weapons could even compare. It's like shooting arrows at Godzilla. But I don't think they could compare against God's arsenal and God's weapons of mass destruction like asteroids, comets, meteorites, hail, or if he chooses to raise up a devastating nation. Cruel is the grave to exact his vengeance upon that which has turned from him. I just don't believe that there's a power on earth that's going to be able to withstand the righteous judgment of God. You and I individually need to make sure that our hearts are right before God continually. Guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your salvation. Guard the life that God has given to you. Continue to get cleaned up before the Lord. Continue to make the necessary adjustments as revealed by the Holy Spirit. Continue to humble yourself before God. Continue to say, God, I know that there are areas in my life that need to be cleaned up and washed. Please do so. Continue to get holy and pure so that you can be a vessel useful to the Master in these days. The glorious church, the bride of Christ, the woman that Christ Jesus is going to marry himself to, will be clean altogether. And do not think for a moment that physical death is going to create an automatic clean heart in you. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever condition our hearts are in when we die is what we're taking with us into everlasting life. This is true. There is no doubt. So again, today we talked about what's going on in the world in which we live. Tonight is the season of Passover. We never did get to John chapter 18, 19 to read the Passover story with the Lamb of God, but maybe you can do that today. We're going to gather together to honor the Lord for the feast. And remember, the feast of Passover, unleavened bread and first fruits, is the first feast of the year that sets the pace for the rest of the year. And if you want to have an abundant season, honor the Lord in everything he requires of his people during the Feast of Passover. Keep it real. Keep it intrinsic. Keep it inward. Keep it dynamically spiritual. And get ready, ladies and gentlemen, for behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's taken away your sin. You're going to walk in more liberty than you've ever known in your life. You're going to have more joy and freedom. You're going to be like a calf stepping out of the stall. You're going to be so free in your conscience. Everything that the enemy tried to put on you is going to be taken from you. You're going out of the house of bondage. No more generational bloodline curses. No more sin affecting and influencing your life. No more devils residing in areas that have not been dealt with. For this is the time that God is going to undo the affliction from his people. And I believe it's true. So get ready. Put your staff in your hand. Get your shoes on your feet. Get your loins girded about, because it's time to go out, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to go out. Do you believe it? I believe it. And I'm going to leave you right now with a little song here. And we're going to give introduction to Patricia Joy as she comes and brings the word of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, just a simple song. Just a simple song. Here we go. Just for you. Just for you. Thank you.
That is upon you. The Lord says, I love you with greater love than one could ever know. My love for you is incomprehensible. Your rewards are great, and you shall see my face, and you shall dwell throughout eternity in my presence. I have prepared a place for you, my beloved, and I tell you that there is not one thing in this present life that is worthy to be compared with the glory that is to come to you. Yes, we are there, body of Christ, ladies and gentlemen. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, and today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And as was spoken of so perfectly, so eloquently by my husband, we are in the latter days, and Satan is bringing forth every enforcement of his host of devils. That's why it's called Rocket Satan 2. The scriptures tell us that he knows his days are numbered. This is why drugs and other perversions of every kind are so prevalent today. The Lord showed me in the spirit that he is starting to close his gate very slowly. Soon it will be shut. And no man, read Matthew 25:10, to understand the vision that I have been given. I believe that in these last days, God is raising up a mighty army to storm the enemy strongholds and free the captives in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that we, as well as others, are being raised up for a time such as this, to arm the believers with the word of God and to allow us by his strength to help lead the way in the final attack on old Satan. Our ministry of deliverance is a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given to my husband and I 5 years before this ministry began. We believe it is the prophecy not just for ourselves, but for the church that is awakening to the sound of the trumpet call of God. He is blowing the trumpet in Zion. He is sounding the alarm. What he is saying, wake up, people, for the time has come. Since the foundations of this earth, there is now a finalizing of the work of God's hands. And it is coming to a conclusion of evil against good, good against evil. Who shall win this incredible? Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands year war. Who shall win it? There's only one who has already overcome the evil one and his evil kingdom. And that is our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other religion, Buddhism, Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, that can overcome the work of the evil one. It has been done, completed. 2,000 years ago, our Lord cried out at Passover, "It is finished." What was finished? The work of Satan in our lives, if we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who overcame the work of the evil one. And then he gave a mandate to us: execute the judgment that was given. For he would try to come, the evil one, to test our faith. And he has, over and over and over, through multiple words of evil and deception and wars and disease and destruction of every kind. It is now coming to an end. And those who believe will be gathered together from the north, south, east, west, his elect, to rise up as his army and become the full blessed army of God to execute the judgment on the evil one, Satan himself, that has protested too loudly too long, who has destroyed multitude and multitude and multitude of lives by his cunning devices of deception, and is still at work. But we who have been granted by the will of God to overcome the evil one who kills, steals, and destroys, the time has arrived. And we now rise up together as one voice in the earth, one mighty army that never has been since the foundation of the earth. The coming of the Lord is now. We have been granted, as mentioned earlier, gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have been granted the fruit of the Holy Spirit if we have received Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and if we have asked the Holy Spirit to move within our lives. These marvelous characters and characteristics of God will work in the life of the believer and produce maturity, completeness, and perfection. And through the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in operation and the working out of salvation, through the maturing of the fruits of the Spirit within us, the overcoming Christian will keep his eternal deliverance. On the contrary, if you choose deception in your life, if you allow it to come in and turn from the light to the darkness, you will be swallowed up in it. And the end of your life will be extremely destructive. But if you choose the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit cannot fail to be produced in you. And if you choose to abide in Jesus, the fruit of the Holy Spirit will grow immensely. For he is the tree of life. The ability to produce rather than to fail comes from the abiding in the vine of Jesus. The key is to abide, continue, to not turn away when things get hard, when you've been offended, when you've been hurt, when nothing looks right. In fact, abiding in the vine means staying connected to the root, who is Jesus Christ, so that the life of Christ can flow into your branch, you, and produce much fruit that is necessary for this end time army. In John 15:10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We are doing as he did. He has given us a way through his wonderful work and words that he spoke when he came on this earth 2,000 years ago. The words were he himself, for he said, "I am the Word of God." He is the Word of God. He is the living Word in actuality. The Word lives. The Word is truth. The Word is energizing. The Word is spiritual. The Word turns this world upside down. Once you understand the very incredible depth of truth that will never end, that will continue into eternities, truth will never fail. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other. Others have been mere men. And yes, Jesus Christ is a man on earth when he came as a man. But he was God also. For the Father sent his seed into Mary and produced Jesus in a supernatural work to show what mankind could truly be like in the glory in which he has once desired mankind to be until the fall, until another seed came into man, the seed of Satan, when Eve partook of the knowledge of good and evil, mixture, when there was purity, cleanness, perfection, she partook of less. That is what happened. Mixture. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Prior, there was only truth. Good. Clean. Pure. Glorious. Life-giving truth. Sent his son to sacrifice. He became the sacrificial lamb that the Jews practiced on Passover. He was the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He took away your sin. He took away my sin. But we have a tendency to go back into our sin that was paid for, delivered from, when we received his grace. Let's get wise again. Let's recognize what our sin nature is like, how it does us no good, how it brings affliction rather than happiness and joy. Let us understand what sin really is. Error. It's not truth. In this world, has erred, thinking they have truth, the truth of deception. Why? Because it's a counterfeit of the truth. And their actions, their ways, their ugliness proves it. even though they may cover it up with intellect. So cloak yourself with intellect, but underneath, you're dark and you're corrupt. And there is a stench that if there are eyes to see and a nose to smell with, you can. And you can if you have the Holy Spirit. What is being said here is that we are to keep his commandments. They're not difficult to keep, according to Scripture. And what is his commandment to us? To love your God, our God, with all our heart, our whole heart, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, if you truly love with the love of God, you fulfill all the law and all commandments. And you do for others what you would do for yourself. Is that too much for you? To do for others what you would do for yourself? It could become a difficult thing. But once you learn the practice of love, it becomes easy. No more difficulty. Maybe effort, but the effort becomes easier. Jesus said in John 8, 28 and 29, I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. I always do what pleases him. Keep all of his commandment. That's what pleases him. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's what he told us. And again, what is that commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all our hearts, all our souls, and all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Is it difficult? Not if you have the Holy Spirit within you. He will teach you. He will show you the way to a complete love. He is the third person of the Trinity. Ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to know the depths of love. Please let the Father's heart be bestowed upon me through the shedding of love upon my heart. Give me this incredible love that will change the world, but first myself. Give me this incredible love where I fear no man. Give me incredible love that will bring the joy and the hope and the love in my life. Jesus knew the importance of keeping God's commandments. He also needed to understand that there was a work he had to do, which he developed in understanding through his age. And we need to understand the paramount importance of keeping God's commandments. We should, as Jesus did, ask God about each decision, and the Holy Spirit will lead us perfectly. We will be amazed at how much he will begin to direct our lives into production and perfect love. It is for this reason that Jesus was able to walk a sinless life. Always keep in mind that he was a mortal man, flesh and blood, just like we are. And he faced all the same temptations as we do. Everything that we have experienced, Jesus Christ has experienced. Your light will expose the darkness, and your work of salvation will be realized in many during this great day of harvest. Blow the trumpet. Sound forth the glorious notes of revival and resurrection power until the notes become so profound and so clear you must continue. The airwaves will be alive with the vibrations of the coming kingdom. We have a part in that now as we are speaking over the airwaves, the kingdom of God, the coming kingdom of our King. He is at hand, body of Christ. He is at hand. You're commissioned this day to work. You must work now like never before, as I have provided you a foundation to build upon. Your work shall endure the fire that shall test all things. And while the nations are being shaken, your work will stand. As your work stands, the nations will come and bring their glory into it. You are unshakable as a kingdom. Receive now the unshakable kingdom within you and stand firm upon the promises that have been made by our Lord Jesus Christ. You shall not be moved. I am bringing forth a brand new reality into the earth, the Lord says, as I am prepared to cause the first heaven and the first earth to pass away. This is the trumpet sound. This is the great awakening. The last trump is being blown in the earth today. All around the world, the gospel is being preached over the airwaves and through those that are being sent out on television, radio, and in governmental offices, the voice of the prophets are being sent forth. I'm reading you from a prophecy that my husband, Vincent Xavier, wrote by the Spirit of the Living God in the year of 2006. And now it's becoming an absolute reality. For you have seen in the government office of Trump the voice of prophets that have been sent forth. You have seen, you have heard about it. This was prophesied in 2006, and it hasn't happened up till now. That voice that was of the Lord is proclaiming his day. There are those who would put the brakes on this day, but I say, the Lord says, that there is no stopping or turning back. The door is being shut slowly, and no man will be able to enter in. We are body of Christ in the latter days. God is doing something brand new that he has never done before. All prophecy is being fulfilled. The kingdom is being received by those who have childlike faith. Is your faith childlike? Those who are wise in their own eyes are being kept out. Don't be prideful and wise in your own eyes and be kept out. The traditions of man are blinding him from the present realities that are taking place in the world today. They can't see. They are blind. They are dealing with the traditions of the world that have been since the fall. They are trying to take over this country through communism. Those are traditional ideas and concepts that will not bear through the generations. Communism has never worked and will never work. There's only one truth, and that is the Republic. Through Christian hearts that are leading and guiding as once was. We were the greatest nation the world has ever known. And we're counting in Rome and all of history turned away from what was the glory. Old glory. Remember the term old glory? If you're young and you're listening to this, you probably don't, because they're probably not teaching you in the schools anymore. But it represented our nation. Now, just as blind as the Pharisees of old were, not allowing the fulfilling of prophecy to come to pass in their own eyes, we have become blind as a nation to the truth of God's word. We cannot continue unless we be imprisoned. And those of us who understood freedom in the United States of America and in our Christian walk will not be able to stand what we see coming upon the earth. But we have been given a mandate, and we will overcome by the power of the living word. Today, the modern theologians and religious leaders are skeptical, of the dawning of this prophetic day I'm talking about. But the Lord says, I have positioned my people and those who know my heart and will to issue forth the words of my heart. I have opened up the scriptures to them like a scroll, and have given them the ability to speak it forth. I have anointed their lips, and surely their words shall be heard in all the earth. Though the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit, there will be those who can no longer resist the truth and will turn from their old philosophy of Scripture and be joined to the one true Spirit of the Lord. I say to those voices who are proclaiming this day that you must continue to blow the trumpet. You must continue to speak forth what I have placed in your heart. You must continue in the passion of truth. I have you. Do not be afraid to speak. For there are many in your cities that are seeking out truth in this day, and they will hear my heart in you, and they will recognize my voice through you. If you wish to order my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, just go to Amazon online. The book is entitled Deliverance, Christian Bill of Rights, and what you have heard in the Great Awakening, in the trumpet sounds, was a prophecy from Pastor Vincent Xavier. God bless you and have a wonderful day.